Ladies and gentlemen, we are titillated to bring you a word from the sponsor of this episode, Balzi. Balzi is a brand that produces high-quality men's personal care products that take grooming to the next level. With products like Quickie Body Wipes, Good Head Shampoo and Conditioner, and their Ball Wash with activated charcoal, you'll have the confidence to live and love boldly this Valentine's Day. If you're looking for a present that benefits you both, try out their combo gift sets. Like the I'm Nuts About You gift set for under $50. It includes their best-selling ball wash with activated charcoal packed with essential oils and plant extracts. It also includes Nut Rub, solid cologne for keeping your boys below and your full body smelling fresh. It also comes with their Sack Spray, portable deodorizing spray great for freshening up on the go. It's perfect for your gym bag after workouts. Specifically formulated to take care of a man's most prized possessions, all of Balzi's products have a no-bullshit ingredients list full of plant extracts and essential oils, with none of the supremely unsexy ones like parabens or sulfates. Balzi products are made right here in the USA, and always will be, and are obviously never tested on animals. With irresistible scents like cedar and citrus and smoke and suede, your love life will be anything but boring. Make taking care of yourself or others a pleasure this Valentine's Day. Try Balzi today with code DBC20 to get 20% off. That's code DBC20 to get 20% off today at Balzi.
Welcome back to Death by Champagne, the podcast here to keep you up at night. Surprise! We are back. Not for season 3, just yet, but we did decide to throw in a spooky fun episode to hold you guys over until season 3 drops. This week, I take us all around the world to talk about the supernatural phenomenon, aka, scientifically speaking, sleep paralysis. I talk about different cultures and their beliefs surrounding sleep demons and witches, who are to blame, obviously, for sleep paralysis, hallucinations, and even nightmares. This episode contains foul language, discussions about sleep paralysis, demons, and witches. Duh. We'll do our best to stay on track, but the bottles are popped.
Hello!
Hi.
Surprise, we're back.
Surprise, bitches.
We are here.
Here to bring you...
Season 3 yet.
No.
But...
just like a little baby in between to hold you over.
Just something fun.
We have big things planned for the official premiere of season 3.
Yes, yes.
So, we had to bring you a little nugget.
Yeah, a little something fun and spooky.
To hold you over.
Yeah.
We are appropriately warm for this episode, feeling a little toasty.
Yeah, it's real hot in here.
Olivia already took her shirt off.
Happened within like the first 2 minutes.
we're on the third floor of a building and it gets super toasty in here.
And I feel like my face is just like beet red.
Oh, my cheeks are aflame. Yeah. Aflame right now.
I'm gonna put my hair up as we speak.
And since we're talking about my cheeks being aflame, I should probably admit that it's because I did not complete 31 days of sober January.
That's fine, though. You made it.
I did.
A long time.
I made it for 21 days, 22.
That is a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't really ever intend to do it. I just was sick for so long that I was like, I just should keep not drinking.
I mean, it sucks you were sick for so long.
Yeah. But then I felt one day, this past Friday, when I got off work, I was like, you know what sounds fucking great? A huge glass of wine.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I did that for myself. Yes. And it was fantastic.
That's the best.
And now I've almost finished the bottle today while I was writing my story, and now we're just now recording this episode.
Just now. Oops. It's fine. So, patrons, you'll have a fun January episode.
We're appropriately flushed for the topic at hand.
Yes. talking about some sex demons, sleep paralysis, primarily sleep paralysis, but they like morph into the same thing.
That's gross. I don't like it. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's like the same thing.
I don't actually remember what I was dreaming about last night, but I woke myself up kicking in my sleep. I was kicking the
like
shit.
Like the air?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And then I was like started like slamming my foot down on my bed and it woke me up. Like I woke up going like
no
with my foot. And I was like, what am I doing?
Oh my God, no.
I was kicking a person in my dream, but I don't remember who or why.
I had a weird dream last night that I do remember. Mariah and I were at some theme park, which I just watched the carnival or started some of the carnival episodes of Sabrina. Have you gotten that far?
No.
Ooh.
I'm on three.
I think it's like episode three. Maybe it's episode four then that they bring them in. But there's like a carnival.
Yes, happens. Because she just asked Nick if they wanted to go to the carnival.
Okay, yes. So I think that's why we were at an amusement park in my dream. But I don't know like what we were doing there. Like we weren't riding rides. I don't remember. I remember her wanting to walk up this hill. And I kept saying like, I don't think there's anything over there. It's like a dead end. And we were in Branson.
Oh, the best theme park in the world.
And then all of a sudden we're like walking, not in the theme park, because I'm like, okay, we need to walk to wherever my parents were because they were picking us up to take us back to St. Louis. And so I'm like, we can just walk there. And then as we're walking, it starts to get dark and we're like in the country, like where there's a house every couple of miles. And then it's like, oh, we need to call an Uber. And I couldn't get my phone to work. And then these teenage boys just appeared out of nowhere. Ghosts. And there were like 10 of them.
They were ghosts.
And I felt very unsafe. And so then we start running. We take off running, make it to a house, go in. It's just this man, this strange man living alone, so we think. And I'm like telling him the situation that I can't get my phone to work and I'm trying to call Uber. And then all the teenage boys come there. Like they live there.
They're all his gross sons.
Yeah. It was very strange.
Gross.
I think the main thing was I couldn't get my phone to work, and that was really causing me stress and anxiety.
Ooh.
It was like I could click on the Uber app, and then it would not bring up the Uber app. So I was trying to figure out what app I needed to click on to then bring up the Uber app.
I always have that kind of feeling in stressful dreams where I'm like running, and I can't use the phone.
Yes.
Or I can't get somewhere fast enough.
I hate it.
And now that you say that, I remember, I think it was because I was watching Sabrina all day yesterday.
Yes.
And I've been intaking an extreme amount of podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
I think that someone died in my dream.
Oh,
I don't
know
who it was. I remember now that I'm talking about it that like our old coworkers were there. And someone died. And I think we were like worried about being accused and someone was yelling. And, like, it was getting very intense.
No.
And then I just remember that someone was chasing us and I was just like trying to kick them away from a door. So we could close it.
Ooh.
And that's what
I woke
up.
Is stressful. Ooh, trying to close a door and you have to kick them away because they're not closed.
Sweating when I woke up.
Spooky.
I immediately ripped my sweatshirt off and was like,
oh my gosh.
I can't.
Nope.
It was a lot.
Ew.
Also, when you said that you were maybe in Branson in your dream, I had like a
immediate
shame aftershock regression into being probably 10 years old and going to Dollywood with my family and going to one of those places. They have one there where like you can go, what is it? It's like fucking knights jousting on horses and you like eat chicken with your hands.
Yes.
And I remember we got there and I like already didn't feel good when we got there and I sat down and I like smelled food.
Oh no.
And I just remember looking at my mom and going like, feel good. And so she just like shoved me out of the row and went to the bathroom where I like immediately vomited and almost shit my pants. At Dollywood. I remember my dad being so mad. He was like, did you make it to the bathroom? And I was 10, which is like,
what the hell?
Way too old to be shaming someone about shitting their pants if it happened.
Yes.
It luckily didn't happen, but I was like, what? We're not talking about this right now.
Right.
No one's talking about me almost shitting my pants
at
Dollywood.
No. Embarrassing. Yeah.
It was mortifying. Yeah.
Only time I've been there, I was a child, and I hated, I mean, as a child, even now, I hate my hands touching things. I don't like my hands to be sticky. There's literally a picture of me, like, I think we've talked about it before, where I've just fallen in the dirt, and the look on my face is just, like, pure horror that my hands are now covered in dirt, and I'm, like, 2. So this is, I was older, I was probably, like, 5. Too old to be mad that there wasn't silverware, but they don't have silverware there. You eat everything with your hands.
Not interested.
Like you said, yeah, you literally eat it all. And my mom literally is begging the kitchen, the waiters, everyone, like, can you just find anything, anything that she can eat with?
Can you spare me a skewer?
Literally, we can't. Like, the people that were sitting in our row were just, like, passing the rolls down because that's the only thing I would eat. I was not about to shove my hands into this Cornish chicken thing.
No.
And eat it. No.
Yeah, I don't. What else do they have?
They have other things that you have to eat. Don't they have, like, sides that you have to eat?
Yeah, they have, like, baked potatoes and green beans and bullshit like that.
They literally don't have silverware.
Dip it in gravy.
Yes. Like, ew.
Like, have you heard of norovirus? That's probably what I had.
Probably. Yes.
I just remember.
Oh, my God.
How did this happen? Why are we here?
I don't know. Fine.
Just remember sitting on the toilet with my face against the metal door.
Oh,
like,
no.
Thank God this is cold.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bad, bad place to be when you want to just lay your head on a floor, like a bathroom floor, because it's cold.
It was
a bad place to be.
Not good.
No.
I'm glad that we're here to talk about demons because the ones in Sabrina are not enough for me.
I know, right?
Sabrina's actually. Unpopular opinion, a terrible show, and I just keep watching it.
I'm obsessed with it, although this season is not as good as the last two, but I'm trying not to think about that because I still really want to like it.
Like, I'm aware as I'm watching it that it's awful, but
I'm okay with it. I love Riverdale, so.
Oh, I like
and Supernatural. I've stuck around for Supernatural for 15 fucking seasons.
I've never watched Supernatural.
I'm obsessed.
Except for I did watch like half of the episode that Snooki is in because that one was really important to me.
Obviously. Obviously. I mean, if you can get through Sabrina, you can get through Supernatural.
I
just have to go into it with lower expectations.
I genuinely enjoy Sabrina also, but like I genuinely enjoy and am invested in Riverdale.
Yes, 100%. They talk about Riverdale. And Sabrina, again.
Well, they need to merge. By the end of it, it needs to merge. I need all of it to converge and give me my super show.
I'm hoping they have, like, a carnival scene in Riverdale that they were, like, there doing something different.
Good for
and
me.
And weird things were happening.
I want that.
Okay. Yes. Sabrina's great. If anyone hasn't watched it, she's just, like, my style icon. Like, I only ever want to wear sweaters and little plaid skirts.
Not you.
And I want to cut my hair short really bad. I'm trying not to.
Maybe don't do that until after your wedding.
I know, I'm really trying. Justin probably won't actually cut it. I've tried. I tried last time I was there and he refused. He said, we'll talk about it next time you're here. So he probably won't cut my hair anyway.
False.
I'd have to do it myself.
Definitely don't do that.
Which would be bad.
I won't allow that.
Do you see these lopsided bangs? Can you tell?
No, because they're kind of curled.
Okay. Sorry, everyone. We're here to talk about sleep paralysis and sex demons. Woo! Woo! Phony flip. Okay, so, quote from, do I have it?
We're off to a great start.
From the American Medical Association Guide to Better Sleep in 1984. That's some good hair.
I washed it and let it dry curly and then I put it in a ponytail.
I love it. I love it. That's like there's no going back. You can only wear a ponytail now.
Oh, I'm going to shove a beanie on top of it tomorrow and call it quits.
Yes. Okay. Quote. Perhaps you've experienced the sensation while awakening or falling asleep of not being able to move. You discover that your body is paralyzed. Although you may try to call out, the sound remains locked in your throat. Meanwhile, your mind is clamoring to know what's going on. 1984. Sleep paralysis. So the phenomenon of sleep paralysis is fairly new, like the word sleep paralysis, but people have been experiencing sleep paralysis for centuries. Like the idea of it is not new, but the actual term sleep paralysis as an explanation is new. So what did people like to blame their problems on back in ye olden times?
Satan!
Satan, demons, witches, all of the above.
Anything except for yourself.
Yes. So this episode, I'm going to bring you a slew of sleep paralysis demons, entities, what have you, and a few succubi, which Mac has covered way more in detail in an oldie old episode. Oh, yeah. I don't even remember when.
Good luck listening to those.
Yeah. So, let's begin. So, the word sleep paralysis was first coined in 1928 in a British neurologist's dissertation called The Narcolepsies. His name was S.A.K. Wilson. So
his name was Zach Wilson.
Yeah, well, it was like S.A.K.
And today's sponsor is Ballsy.
It's Ballsy. I didn't look up what those letters meant, so I just went with it. But yeah, Zach Wilson. So I'm sure most of us know, and some of us have probably even experienced sleep paralysis. But essentially, it comes down to the individual being affected is either falling asleep, more times it's waking up from sleep. So you're not fully conscious yet, but you're conscious enough that you're kind of out of that dream realm, but you're not totally into reality yet. And you're aware that your body, you cannot move your body. And sometimes people can't breathe. Sometimes people can't move their head or their eyes. Like some people, it's just like total, you're just like staring at whatever you woke up in position. Sometimes you can move your head. Most of the times people try to call out or scream and that doesn't work, obviously. So obviously pretty terrifying. Once your brain realizes you can't move, you start freaking out and waking up more, coming to the realization that you really can't move. Some people's experience can be further traumatizing because sleep paralysis can induce hallucinations. And others become extremely panicked because they feel as if they can't breathe. And due to these hallucinations, partnered with the lack of knowledge about sleep paralysis, this led to literally every culture there is imaginable having a different type of demon, entity, what have you, to blame for this experience. So, let's start. So nightmare is where we need to begin, because that's like apparently a whole thing. Like the word nightmare being two words, night and then M-A-R-E, like nightmare, mm-hmm. like a horse. So our subconscious mind stresses to the point of giving us vivid, unsettling, and sometimes disturbing dreams.
Oh, I get nightmares because I'm stressed out?
Yeah.
Great.
You didn't know?
Great.
Definitely because you're stressed.
Cool.
The term nightmare... Then this being like two words, not the one word, which is what it is now, can be traced back to, multiple centuries. But there are 1700s paintings depicting women asleep with small goblin-looking animals on their chest or coming out of their body. And in some instances of these paintings, there's a ghostly figure of a horse, so a mare, in the background. So essentially people believed that when they fell asleep, an incubus demon took over their dreams. And this led to the belief that the sleeping individual was made to ride an actual demon horse, like, throughout the night, which invoked nightmares and bad dreams. Like, so you're literally riding a mare at night. So nightmare is where all of that comes from.
That's fucking amazing.
Yes. That's what people legit thought was happening to them.
Like, are we saying that my subconscious is riding a horse or that my body leaves my
head? No, I think that your subconscious is. The word mare itself is derived from Old English mara or mar, M-A-H-R, and in numerous other cultures with slight variations of the word mara, which is also associated to some kind of sleep witch or demon. So other accounts go back even farther. I put 1962. That's not right. 1692 with the Salem witch trial.
Not 1962. No ma'am.
Bridget Bishop was accused of entering a man's room and having sex with him while he lay paralyzed.
I remember that.
Sleep paralysis is what happened to him.
Nah.
And he hallucinated, or he just lied. Or they had sex and he didn't want to tell them that they actually had sex because he wanted to have sex. Because he was probably married.
One of those other two.
Could have been sleep paralysis.
I'm going to go with he's a liar.
Okay. So Mara, in Nordic mythology, mostly derives from Scandinavian and German folklore. A Mara is an evil spirit who disrupts sleep. More specifically, she is a damned woman who's also been cursed. Her body is carried mysteriously while she sleeps without her knowing it. And in this state, she visits homes, causing them sleep paralysis and nightmares.
So she causes it, but she doesn't know it.
Yeah, she doesn't know. because she's cursed.
When we say carried.
Like her soul leaves her body.
Okay.
And it like floats along into a home.
So it's like she passes out, her subconscious evil demon twin spirit floats out of her and is like, I'm going to go fuck some people's lives up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. We're on the same page.
Yep. So this is like a quote from a story about like some tale in Scandinavia by Regis Boyer. It says, he was torpid and went to bed to sleep, but he hadn't slept long, howled, and said that the Mara was trampling on him. His men rushed to help him, but when they grabbed his head, she trod on his legs so that they almost broke. And when they grabbed his legs, she choked his head so that he died. This is what the Mara does.
I feel a little bad for going immediately to this place, but I can't get over like how sensitive. Right. That whatever actually happened to you in your sleep, you're like, a woman tried to kill me.
A cursed, damned woman tried to kill me.
Yes. I mean, I understand that it's generally accepted folklore at the time. So that's one thing.
Right.
But also, it was a lady.
Yes, that's my next point. That these were always depicted as women and female spirits. She could get through the crack in a window or under the door. And she would sit on your chest, causing you to have nightmares, sometimes even having sex with you to cause you exhaustion. Like she would just have sex with you all night long.
If you're telling me that an option for being tired in the morning is that
you, a sex, well, Amara rode you and had sex with you all night long.
And instead, I'm so stressed out, I'm giving myself active shooter dreams.
Yes, that too.
Great.
No, you can blame it on the Mara.
Great.
She's doing that to you.
So even men that are being killed in their sleep fake by this demon are having a better time than me at night. Cool.
If you woke up while she was present, you would become paralyzed, unable to move or speak. And if she noticed you were awake, she would cause your breathing to become difficult or possibly stop altogether. So humans were not the only victims of Amara, at least in, like, this culture, in, like, German, what else did I say? Scandinavia and Germany. Animals and even trees could become one of her prey. If a tree's branches became like, tangled or, like, thick and weird-looking, it was assumed that Amara had attacked the tree.
Just imagining the girl from... From what's it?
Superstar. Is superstar. That what it's called? Yeah. I just know that's what she says. I was like, I don't remember if that's what the movie
so
is.
So now that's what the Mara looks like.
Yep. Same with animals. If an animal appeared exhausted after sleeping or became riddled with deformities, Amara was to blame.
This is too broad of a category, sirs.
All of it. She's just to blame for everything. So in Poland specifically, they had a number of practices to protect themselves from the Mara. They include any of the following. Drinking coffee grounds before sleeping, which good luck with that. Basically, you wouldn't be asleep, so I guess she couldn't get you.
I don't understand.
Taking her hat, which we'll get more into in different cultures. Throwing a piece of noose at her. Not on her, but just at her. Sleeping with a leather wedding belt or scythe.
A scythe?
Oh, scythe. Inviting her for breakfast. Changing your sleeping position. Smearing feces on the front door. Or leaving a bundle of hay in your bed and going to sleep in another room. You would trick her with the bundle of hay.
Can we touch on what a wedding belt is?
I don't know what it is.
I'm scared.
I think it's, let's Google it real quick. Isn't it like a chastity belt?
Pause for Google.
Pause. No, this is literally just like, here are wedding belts. So, hey, if any of you know what a wedding belt is.
I'm going to keep Googling while you continue.
Know. Okay. So, to protect your animals from the Mara, a farmer would hang mirrors over the stable doors to scare her away once she looks at herself. she would become scared. And they would hang dead birds around the barn or the stable, wherever the animals were kept, to, like, I guess, same thing with the feces. Like, the scent would make her not want to be there. And sometimes red ribbons were tied around animals' necks as a way of protection, which all of that in itself sounds a lot like witchcraft to me. Like, you're going to tie a red ribbon around your horse's neck. You're going to kill some crows and nail them to the outside of the barn.
That is the most, like, pagan shit I've ever witchcraft. Heard of.
Yeah.
Okay, also, I just rewatched all of Sabrina to prepare for this.
Yes.
They're walking, they carry the red ribbon around mm-hmm. the statue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's witchcraft.
Yeah. It is witchcraft. So, in French folklore, this was really interesting. And this one, I will link her research. I talk about her and, like, name her specifically, but everyone should go read her full thing because it was actually very, very fascinating. So in France, sleep paralysis was referred to as a cauchemar, and as the southeastern part of the U.S. was eventually claimed by French settlers, more specifically Louisiana, this name translated to witch riding and is still a very popular folklore belief today within the African-American community of Louisiana. So the idea started morphing into a belief that if a cauchemar visited you at night, it was a warning. So a lot of the older generation now believe that to be, like, true, that it was a warning of something to come, or maybe warning you against behaviors you were doing, like that kind of thing. Like, it wasn't totally bad. It was more like a, hey, you need to be aware that something bad is about to happen. But the younger generation who still believe in cauchemar don't think that it happens for any reason. It just happens. So a lot of my information that I'm going to link and everyone should read about specifically French nightmare, whatever demons we're talking about, a woman named Catherine Roberts, who performed a research on this supernatural phenomenon in Louisiana. So basically her entire research was to get actual stories from those who've experienced a cauchemar, or take stories, like, secondhand, like people who are like, oh, my grandma, this happened to her, whatever, and take them as facts. Her goal was not to, like, explain away this belief in spirit as sleep paralysis, more to, like, see what type of people believe it and where they've learned it from and why they believe it.
I like that.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. Very detailed. I'm going to read just like a whole paragraph from the article I read from her. So I began my research for narratives by announcing to freshmen in developmental English classes at USL that I was looking for people to talk to about cauchemar. I chose to pull these classes because the instructors were friends of mine and because they contain relatively large concentrated populations of people from Southwest Louisiana. All of the informants I recruited this way were people who identified themselves either as African-American, Creole, or French Indian. In fact, I only received one extensive supernatural assault narrative from a white informant, and that was after the term cauchemar had been explained to him. Some black students in the class I talked to clearly knew what I was talking about when I mentioned the word cauchemar. However, they declined the invitation to talk to me about it. I was later told by an informant that some people believe that talking about a cauchemar actually encourages a visit from one in the night.
That makes sense.
Yes. So, some of the other main points she gathered from all of these people's descriptions when they tell, because she has a ton of, like, actual stories, like, from people. I don't read them all because it was too much, but they all described it as riding, trying to scream but can't, sitting on my chest, a physical sensation of not being able to move. So, she received numerous stories, sometimes secondhand, like I said, sometimes firsthand, and all were very similar in their description of what they experienced. Although none of them actually saw any kind of entity or anything in their room. It was just a physical experience that they took as a cauchemar coming to them. Yes. So, an 18-year-old told her about an elderly man who was staying with his family once and experienced a cauchemar pulling on his toes. When he woke up a little bit from this happening to him, it jumped on top of him and held him down. Like, he couldn't see it, but he felt it. Like, felt being held down.
How big was it, does he say?
Big enough to, like, sit on his chest and hold his arms down.
But I wonder, like, what he felt did like. It feel like this?
Oh,
or did
I don't
it feel
know.
Like this?
Oh, like an actual hand or, right. like, just pressure? Oh, right. I don't know. That would be a good question.
No one saw that. I pushed on Olivia's arm.
And then she grabbed my arm.
And then I grabbed her arm. Like, was it a kitten paw or was it a big man hand?
Yes. So he tried to scream out, but couldn't. And the Kushmar only left when someone entered the room and touched the old man because they heard strange noises coming from his room, so they decided to come check on him. So if a Kushmar stays long enough, like at least in French belief, like without someone entering the room, you could die. So in the Creole French culture, there are also ways to prevent a Kushmar visit. They include going to church, obviously, sleeping on your stomach, saying your prayers at night, having crosses in your house, and this one, placing stones or beans under your bed in the shape of a circle. Because apparently the Kushmar is very dumb, and they'll get distracted and try to count, and they won't know when to stop because it will be going in a circle. So they'll keep counting. And so the idea is to keep them distracted until the sun comes up, because when the sun comes up, they can't hurt you.
So if that's not... a thinly veiled commentary on women's place in society. I don't know what is.
Right.
That you need to go to church and be a good little girl or you're going to be fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yep. So, the one white man story that she interviewed that was mentioned before, and she gives a whole explanation of, like, why she threw him in because it was so interesting to her that, like, all the students who identified as African-American or Creole, all of those things, they had talked about their experience. They talked about it with their family, or they had family members talk about this experience with them. Or in some cases, it, like, one of the girls explained to her grandma, like, what, you know, like, I keep waking up in the middle of the night and I can't move. And she's like, oh, a Kushmar's come to visit you. And she's like, what? What is that? And then they, like, find out that way and they talk about it. But this white man's experience, he never told anyone. He didn't tell anyone for years what had happened to him. Because he didn't know what, he's like, there's no explanation, and I don't know, like, they didn't talk about it. So I think that's, like, most of her research is just, like, this cultural development of this supernatural phenomenon that people experience and fully believe in, and, like, how different that is.
Yeah, just, like, the difference difference in culture of, like, sharing any sort of vulnerable experience with a family member or a close friend versus saying, I don't know what this is. It's not real. It can't be happening to me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So his experience is a little different than everyone else's, at least in the French style of a Kushmar. So I'm paraphrasing this, but he was sleeping on the couch in the living room and he woke up to the sound of his screen door opening and he couldn't move. And then he heard, I'm picturing, like, the screen door is in the kitchen. Like there's an exit in the kitchen, because then he hears the kitchen door open, and then he hears the floorboards creak as if someone's walking on them, and he couldn't move and he wanted to scream, and all he remembers is experiencing so much fear because someone was in his house, and then he could feel them standing next to him, but he couldn't move his head or his eyes or his body to look at them. And then, I mean, nothing happened to him. He just said that he felt extremely afraid and had a feeling that whatever was next to him wasn't good and was there to hurt him, and then that was it. So, I mean, his, like, that is a sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Absolutely, like, straight on definition, all of these are. Like, it's just, like, this belief in something. And that's why he never said anything, because he's the one who didn't know. He'd never heard of a Kushmar.
Right.
And once it was explained to him, then he was like, oh.
Well, this thing
happened to me.
The possibility, like, you know, you hear any explanation, like, it could have been that he heard the term sleep paralysis.
Right.
And was like, yeah. Oh, that's what happened.
Or it could
have, you know, any demon, any entity, any explanation could have been the opening, like, gateway to, oh, that's a thing that happens to people.
Yep. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, today's episode is sponsored by Ballsy, the fun, playful, never boring men's grooming brand that focuses on self-care below the belt. For Valentine's Day, they have specialty gift sets available, like the Your Incredibles Nut Rub Cologne heart-shaped box set with a limited edition Drift and Dune scent. Ballsy's Nut Rub solid colognes are made with ingredients like beeswax and coconut oil for the perfect amount of moisture and to reduce irritation. With scents like Sun and Surf, Citrus and Cedar, and Smoke and Suede, your package will be taken care of this Valentine's Day. Join over 200,000 satisfied customers in enjoying Ballsy's high-quality men's care products that are sure to benefit both of you. Like all of their other products, NutRub Solid Cologne is free of parabens and sulfates and is made in the USA. Make taking care of yourself or others a pleasure this Valentine's Day. Try Ballsy today with code DBC20 to get 20% off. That's code DBC20 to get 20% off today at Ballsy.
I still don't have an explanation for what happened in my experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never going to have one, but.
Yeah.
So.
What happened? I know you've told it. Yeah. But now I can't remember.
Well, I was asleep. It was in our old apartment that was a lot smaller.
Yeah.
And our room.
Oh, yes.
Was
yes.
Brick.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if like any of these details have anything to do with it. Yeah. But like. Our room was always really weird to me. Like, it was brick, and it, like, you could tell it just, like, wasn't a bedroom.
Yes, definitely.
And, like, the house was split up really weird.
Yeah.
And we both woke up at the same time, and it sounded like a buzzer was going off. Like,
yes.
My best
oh my God, yes.
description of it would be, like, the buzzer at a basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, that was going off, but it was going off repeatedly in, like, a consistent pattern, like a smoke alarm. Mm-hmm. But it was, like, a buzzer, not, like, an electronic or digital beep. No. And I woke up, and I was looking, like, I was laying on my back, so I remember looking, like, kind of at the ceiling, but in front of me, like, to the corner of the wall, and trying to yell, because I didn't understand what the noise was, and I was trying to, like, tell Cash to wake up, and I just, like, gurgled. And I remember my hands, like, one was by my leg, and one was on my chest, and I just remember feeling my own fingers, like, tightening.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted, yeah. I could move them, like, they could go from this. Like, relaxed.
Yeah.
To this. So like, I could stiffen them, but I couldn't like bend
strained.
Them. Oh. So, like, I just felt them, like, my whole body got really rigid, and I tried to sit up and could not at all, and I could feel, like, the tendons sticking out in my neck as
did
I
did it feel like something was physically pressing down on you, or you, no. like, couldn't get up?
No. I felt like I was so rigid that, like, I couldn't sit up. And I tried to, like, I just kept trying to make noise, and I just kept going, like, making horrible straining noises. And then, I don't know, like, if Cash experienced the exact same thing. I don't remember him making any noise.
Yeah.
But
was he awake and not able to move?
Yes.
Oh, see, I don't think you told me that part.
Well, not, like, as vividly as I
right.
was, but, like,
but he remembers, like, waking up from the noise and
yeah.
then not being
like,
able
he
to move.
Definitely heard the noise. Because I've never been fully convinced that the noise wasn't in my head.
Oh.
Because, like, it stopped by the time either of us could, like,
what the
look
fuck?
Around and be like, what's happening?
What if it was some kind of, like, I mean, like, they used weapons like that in war. Like, noise things that, like,
yeah.
make you, like, lose your shit or something like that. Seriously, what if it was that? What if literally everyone on your block experienced that? Because something like
know.
That happened.
I don't know. I've never been able to figure it out. Well, we had an alarm in that apartment that went off every time you opened the door. Like,
yeah.
if it was off, it would do, like, a beep, beep, beep every time a door opened inside
oh,
and
yeah,
outside.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And then if it was on, it would do a really long, consistent electronic beep until you turned, like, until you punched the code
yeah.
in and stopped it.
Yeah.
And if it went all the way off, like, there's an intruder, it would do, like, a loud-ass, like,
yeah,
a fire
yeah,
drill
yeah.
buzzer.
Yes.
And that's what it sounded like. But it stopped, and we both, like, sat up and went and looked and, like, opened the huge door that led into the living room, and, like, there was no one in our house. The door was shut. Alarm was not tripped.
It's just weird that you both, like, couldn't move.
I don't know. I don't know if he equates it to the same level of, like, it was not that I wasn't awake. I was
yeah.
100%,
yeah.
like, my eyes were this big.
Oh, yeah.
I could not.
He's like, I wasn't totally awake, he thinks.
Yeah, like, I think he was confused.
Okay.
But I was, like... My mind has never been clearer.
Nope. That's terrifying.
Just completely laying there frozen.
Terrifying. No.
Has anyone else ever had that happen?
Yeah. Let us know. Because we need to know. We need
I
to
do.
Perform
I
experiment.
Wanna, yeah. I want to hear more about this.
Ooh.
I didn't hallucinate anything. So
that would be the fucking scariest.
Yeah. If that was true.
I'm not interested
I assume
that
that's what sleep paralysis was, but.
Well, yeah, but.
I can't imagine if I actually hallucinated something. I think
I feel like that's like, there's like the you can't move aspect. And then the next step up is like, you can't move and it feels like someone is holding you down. Like, not because you can't move, but because someone is physically like pushing on you. Ugh. And then the next step is like seeing shit.
I read one on Reddit once. I don't remember if it was actually attributed to sleep paralysis or not, but this person, I think it was in like a haunting thread.
Oh, yeah.
And this person said that someone was pulling on the blanket, like trying to pull it out of their hands, and they were trying to pull it over their head, and said that they finally like pulled so hard in opposite directions that their hands slipped off the blanket and they punched themselves in the face with both fists and had bruises.
Oh my
and
God.
After that happened, there was no tension on the blanket. It was like jerked off the bed and then nothing else happened.
No. Not interested. I feel like I've experienced something very minor, but nothing like crazy. Chris used to get sleep paralysis all the time.
Ugh.
Like in college. Yeah. But like to the, they can't move. He never felt like something pushing on him or saw things, but he like wouldn't be able to move.
I think my psyche has stopped any other thing worse than that from happening because right? I don't know that like, I could
nope.
recover
nope.
if I saw something that scary.
Yeah, no. No. Chris, like did I tell you the other night, Chris woke up and he, like, the next morning he was convinced there were aliens?
Yes, you did, but we never talked about it.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. I can tell it. I can tell the whole thing then. Okay.
Tell the world.
He woke me up, which he never, he was sitting up in bed shaking me awake, and I heard a siren, it sounded like in my sleepy state, just like an ambulance, you know. But it was different than that. It wasn't the normal ambulance sound. It was long and drawn out, and then it would stop, and then it would start again. So it was kind of, in my head, I was just like, it's the ambulance. And he was sitting up in bed, and he was like, no, did you see that? And I was like, no, I didn't see anything. And I was like literally so tired. And at that point, the sound was coming from behind our house, far away. So I was like, it's just like an ambulance. And then I went back to bed, and I didn't think anything of it. And then the next day, he was like, did you see that and hear that last night? And I was like, the ambulance that was, like, miles behind our house? Yeah. And he was like, no, it wasn't that. He said he woke up because he saw flashing lights, like, bright white lights, like, coming from our front windows. Because everything in, we keep the blinds up in our very front room. Because nothing's in there. We're never in there. And then there's, like, the pocket doors that are always open that go into the living room. And then there's another doorway and then our room. So, like, you can see, like, if there's light.
Coming from the front.
So, he said there was bright, white flashing lights and this insanely loud siren. And he said immediately, like, when I woke up, it had gone to the back of the house. He said, but it was coming from the front of the house. The noise was. And it was a lot louder. And then he said, like, when, because I was like, yeah, it sounded like it was behind the house. He's like, yeah, but it wasn't. He's like, it was in front of the house. And then immediately it was, like, behind the house.
I wonder.
And I was like, I don't know. I literally have no idea. It was probably, like, 2, like, 1 or 2 in the morning. It was, like, after we'd been asleep.
I mean, here's my scientific approach to everything. We get a flashing light certain days a week because the garbage truck comes by and has flashing lights on it.
Oh.
Or, like, any truck that comes by for like construction.
At night?
I don't probably not that,
that late.
Probably not that. Like it comes earlier than that in the morning.
Yeah.
Like at 3 or 4.
I mean, we were like asleep. Or
like a school bus that comes by at like 6 a.m. to pick this poor kid up on the corner that has flashing lights on it.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. He said they were bright because I was like, well, maybe it was like an ambulance or like, you know, it was like or something outside. And he was like, no, it was just white lights.
I mean, I hear it more in St. Louis than I have anywhere else, like a false start of an ambulance siren. Like when the siren starts, it's almost like they hit it and then they turn it off and then they hit it and they turn it off and it never gets through a full cycle of like the tones.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that like we hear that a lot. Like it'll be like, where?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And then it will go into, like, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it
is. I don't know why that happens, though.
I don't know.
Also, it's more fun to believe that it's aliens.
I know, he thinks it was. I was literally, but he's never woken me up before, and I didn't even try to be awake. I was just like, I hear that ambulance that miles away. Shut the fuck up, I want to go back to bed.
I don't doubt that aliens are real. Like, if all the other shit, like, you know, if we believe in the science that we believe in and the religion that we believe in, of course aliens are real.
Of course aliens exist. Yeah.
But, like, we're not the smartest thing that lives here.
No.
Our planet's in total disarray.
Definitely not.
Someone else is out there doing it better. But yeah. I think just like ghosts, I'm never going to see them.
Because I hope I see a ghost.
I'm not their audience. They know not to pick me.
They're like, no, she wouldn't be able to handle like, it.
It was a shadow. Bye.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Sorry. We'll get back into this.
That was ridiculous.
Next one. Going on to Brazil now. I'm going to say this wrong, I'm sure, because I didn't look it up. Pisidaria?
Let me see.
Pisidaria? Pisidaria? I don't know.
Pisidira.
Pisidira is essentially a nightmare personified. She's often depicted as an old woman, but sometimes an old man. She has long fingernails, a gaunt face, and an overall unappealing look. She usually lurks on rooftops, seeking out a moment to crawl into an open window and sit upon the chest of someone sleeping and ultimately suffocate them. In the northeastern part of Brazil, Pisidira, that's what we're saying, wears a red hat. So that's where the hat comes in. Like, you could take her hat off, because their belief is that if you can get her hat off, she'll lose her power and hold over you. How you're supposed to do this if you're paralyzed, I'm not totally sure. But she will then grant you any wish you want to give her her hat back. So if you can get her hat off, you get a wish.
I like this idea. Granted. Yes. I feel like that would have been a better plot. Like this, I mean, again, this can't happen because we're not going to whitewash this whole thing.
Right.
For the sake of teenage witches. But it's really funny that this Sabrina keeps coming up in this episode. We're clearly living.
Constant.
We're living what we surround ourselves with right now. Yes. I hate the sleep demon episode of Sabrina. I hate it so much.
Oh, the thing it's that comes in.
Baddie Bat.
Yeah, Baddie Bat.
It's so pointless.
Yeah.
It's a waste of film.
Yeah. I remember watching, like, because I was very confused. I feel like I thought I missed something. Because I didn't think they explained it well enough that that's what was happening to them.
I was just like
all of a sudden, she's getting married to Harvey. And I was like, wait, where are we?
And none of this
did I miss some episodes?
None of that moved any of the plot forward.
No. So, this particular version of Pisidira is thought to have originated from Portugal's Fredino de Mau Ferrada, which translates to Little Handhold Friar. He was an entity who would enter through the keyhole in the door, donning a red hat, and he would straddle atop the person he was after and then place his large hand right on their chest, causing their breathing to become difficult and assigning them nightmares.
I love the idea of assigning someone a nightmare.
Yes. He would just like feel it out and then give one to you.
Like you're fucking Robert California. Yes. That is one of my favorite episodes of The Office.
Oh my God, yes, yes. He only leaves when the person wakes up. So he's more of a nightmare demon than like a sleep paralysis one, because he does leave when the person wakes up. So now we're heading to Russia. Kikimora. This entity in Russia is a Kikimora, is also, not surprisingly, a female spirit. And when a Kikimora inhabits a house, she lives behind the stove or in the cellar, and she emits noises similar to mice. So she's a mouse.
So she's nice.
Her name derives from the Polish folklore of Mora, similar to Mara, which is means the souls of the living people that leave the body at night. And they appear to be little wisps of air.
I like that. Just
yes. Just leaving.
That's how I want to leave a place. I want to throw my arms up over my head like a black swan. And
like, I'm poof. Gone. And make that noise.
A little fart and I disappear.
Oh my God. So she is very similar to all the other entities that we've talked about in different cultures that are to blame for sleep paralysis. She's believed to enter through a keyhole in the door. She differs though in other cultures because there are two different kinds. So there's the Kikimora who comes from the forest and is married to Domovoy, who is almost like a godlike entity who's believed to protect the house. So a lot of households, it's more like the Domovoy is like god level, but he is your ancestor. So he cares about your household because he's okay. An ancestor of you. So everyone has one at their house, essentially. So he protects children primarily and animals, and Kikimora is his counterpart. So he's the good that protects everyone, and she's the bad who wants to kill the people in the house. In other areas, it's believed that the Kikimora come from the Domovi is... Oh, come... What? Believe that the Kikimora came from the Domovi is the family. Okay. Some areas believe that... So they all have a Dumovi who's protecting them. He will tell the Kikimora to come if that family has been corrupted in some way. So it's like he invites her in to cause chaos and nightmares and bad shit to go on when the family has misbehaved.
In why don't some you way. Just mind your business?
I mean, that too.
Cost $0.
Mind your business. So another variation of the Kikimora comes from the swamp, and she is married to the Leshy. She is known to have entered your home by the wet footprints that she leaves behind.
Love that.
Yes. Great trick for people who believe in her. So aside from sleep paralysis, Kikimora is also known to wreak havoc on the home that isn't in order. She'll break dishes, she'll make loud noises at life, and just basically ruin your life. Or loud noises at night. I don't know if I said that right.
You didn't. You said in life.
In life. Make loud noises at night and then just ruin your life. Yes. But if your house is in order, she will help maintain it by taking care of things in the house. So you can get rid of her by making the sign of the cross on the pillow, looking out the window, or leaving a broom upside down behind the door. That's how you get rid of her.
I think I'm going to hang a broom. For funsies.
Good. I have a broom hung up on our wall.
Just flip it around.
Yeah.
Keep those bitches out.
Okay, we got two more places. These ones are shorter. In Fiji, the Kana Tavora. So the phenomenon of sleep paralysis in Fiji is described as a Kana Tavora, which loosely translates to literally being eaten by a demon. This particular demon isn't always a specific entity like the others that we've encountered. Sometimes it can be a spirit of a deceased loved one who has come back for unfinished business. So unlike most of the other cultures that we have talked about, beliefs surrounding sleep paralysis and the Kana Tavoro are often welcome because of the belief that it's a deceased loved one coming to tell you something or give you knowledge about something. So, for example, like if two people are sleeping in a room together and one of them gets sleep paralysis, it's believed that the Kana Tavoro has visited. And if the other person notices, they'll start chanting Kania, 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 which translates to eat, 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 because that will encourage the Kana Tavoro to stay longer and prolong the possession of the person who's getting assaulted by this demon or spirit. Yeah.
Off.
Yeah. And it's because they want to keep it there longer in hopes that they'll be able to talk to whoever's trying to talk to them. Yeah. So just say eat, eat, eat.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's so a horror movie that writes itself.
I know. To get rid of the Kana Tavoro, assuming they have passed on their information, the one afflicted upon waking has to literally chase the entity out of the home by any means necessary. So whether it is physically chasing them, cursing them, or saying hurtful or hateful things, like if it's someone you knew in life, to get them to leave, like whatever you have to do, like that's how you get them out of the home. But it has to be the one who is essentially possessed by the thing.
Ugh.
Yeah. So in Pakistan, we have our last one, Baktak. In Islamic mythology, the ghoul that takes over during sleep paralysis is called a Baktak, a demon slash spirit also known as an Ifrit. Ifrit, I think is how that's pronounced. These types of spirits are usually associated with the underworld and other spirits of the dead. So they normally occupy abandoned places, but their true home is the underworld. So what differs in Islamic culture when it comes to sleep paralysis is that these types of demons are usually summoned by black magic and someone doing this. So all these other ones, it just like can happen, or it can happen like because of a deceased loved one or like a warning type of thing. This is like someone sent you a sleep paralysis demon.
Someone said, I'm gonna fuck her night up.
Yes. So instead of just appearing just because they're sent by a particular individual to someone else, and it essentially does everything else that sleep paralysis does that we have talked about over and over again. But in Islamic culture, because these are true beings of hell or the underworld, the only way to get rid of them is by an exorcism. whether that individual that is being possessed or haunted, whatever, has an exorcism done to them, or if there is believed to be a Boktok in a home, then like a cleansing will be done by like an ordained whatever they are. Yeah, so that's the only way to get rid of them that way. And a key way to ward off Boktok is by wearing an amulet of some kind that was made specifically to ward them off.
So it can be anything, just as long as you're...
You like specifically...
Clear about intent.
That. Yeah, so we went all over the world today with the same idea of sleep paralysis, but all sorts of cultures and beliefs.
It's a lot.
About sleep paralysis.
I don't want it to happen to me ever again.
Yeah, no.
It was horrible.
I believe you. That sounds awful.
I seriously got no sleep that night after. I was probably awake for 3 hours after it happened.
No.
And then I maybe like catnapped for an hour and then got up. No. And I'll never forget it. I had to go to a bachelorette party. It was either the night before or the night after. I can't remember which one happened first, but I got like no sleep two nights in a row. And then I had to go to a really intense training for circus.
No.
And I like lost my mind afterwards. I just like laid on the floor and cried for like an hour.
Oh my God,
because I was so
just like
done.
So stressed out. Yeah.
I was just like, I can't sleep. If that happens again, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah. No, thank you.
It's fucked up. That is very so then I just drank myself to sleep.
It's one way to do it.
It's kind of what I'm hoping happens tonight. After you leave and I go to sleep, that I just have a nice red wine snooze.
Snooze, yeah.
No sleep demons.
I've been taking melatonin and it's great. I literally slept all through the night, like not waking up at all.
I haven't been waking up, but I've been going to bed at 11:30 or midnight and waking up at 5:30.
Yeah, no, that's not fun or acceptable.
No.
No.
No, look how purple the underside of my eyes are.
It's fine.
It's ridiculous.
That's how you live. It's fine.
It is how I live. I look like my nose is broken. Like I have two black eyes.
Oh my gosh. And this no, it does not look that bad.
Shitty ponytail.
That's all we have for you guys, this specialty episode.
We just wanted to bring you something in between so you'd heard from us.
So you have a little bit of time left
before we will be season three. Back so soon.
So
for the beginning of season 3.
Yes.
So
get
until
ready.
Then. Yes. Prepare your butts. Until then, get ready. Find us on social media. You can hang out with us over on our Patreon page. For $2 a month, you get all your episodes early and extra content every month. Find us on Instagram. Email us. We are killing the game on Twitter right now.
Woo, woo.
I know how to use it. We have friends on Twitter.
Good.
And super just like shout out to all of our friends on Twitter.
Yeah.
Hanging out with JT from True Crime Lab.
Get it.
And Jen from our True Crime Podcast.
Yeah.
It's fun. We have a little group of creators and we all hang out and
love.
Talk about stuff like file loss and sound quality and help each other navigate new situations. And it's been really fun.
Yes. Good.
So hang out with us on social media.
Yeah.
All the shits.
Yeah.
Till next time. We are.
Here to keep you up at night.
Hail Satan.
And pop some bottles.
Goodbye.
Bye.